Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Well, thank you so much for being at our Vision and Reveal Sunday. It is a part of our message series called Difference Maker, and I believe locked inside of every heart of every person is the desire to make a difference in the world around you. And so today we're going to talk about that a little bit and weave it through the idea of what we are doing next as a faith step. And so if you don't know this, we have been taking part in a building project to expand this facility, to double the size of our adult worship space and to double the occupancy for our children. And so today is the day when we get to show you those images and those renderings of those of you who knew this was part of this weekend's events. How many are excited about that? So I've been toying with, when do I show you the pictures? In the beginning of this service, in the middle of the service, or at the end of the service? So your next attempt at excitement is going to determine the placement of those pictures in today's message. So is anybody excited about seeing these pictures of what the architects have come up with? Oh, all right. You did much better than the 9 a.m. That is a beginning of the service response right there. So without further ado, let me show you a picture of the south side of the building as you come in to the Main Street entrance. Every weekend, you see this image, and this is the first place where the architect has a rendering of the difference of what this facility will look like as we go forward. You ready? So they're going to put it up. Here is the proposed worship space rendition. So one of the goals was to double the occupancy for our adults and double the occupancy for our kids. This is the solution to the extra occupancy space that we need for our worship service. Another goal that we had in this project was to get rid of the look of the schoolhouse. And somebody talk back to me, did we achieve our objective here or not? Oh, we killed it, y'all. We killed it. Some of y'all are just like, it's okay. So this right here, let me spend a few minutes. I'm going to leave this up for you for a few minutes. Let me give you a few details about the project and let you know who we're partnering with as we move forward in this project. And later on, I'm going to tell you when we plan on breaking ground on this project. So we have partnered with three organizations that are local, one that is out of the area, and I'm going to talk about that first partnership first. We partnered in fall of 2015. With a group called Enjoy Stewardship Solutions for this purpose, to make sure that we, in fact, were in a financial position to take this all-important step with wisdom at our side. And so we wanted to partner with a professional who would be able to come in and give us an objective analysis of where we were financially and give us their opinion as to whether or not this was a good move for us and if the timing was right and so on and so forth. And so they began with an environmental assessment. They did financial analysis, so on and so forth. And they said, yes, move forward with this project. In our opinion, you are in a good position financially to take this step. And so from 2015 all the way through 2016 to our present day, we have continued to increase at what Enjoy is calling an exponential level financially. In other words, I am very pleased to inform you that we as a church are as strong as we have ever been financially in the history of our church. So thank you again for all of your generosity. Let me tell you how strong we are. From 2015 to 2016, we increased financially by 60%. In other words, our giving was up 60% from 2015 to 2016. And in 2017, we are on pace to break what came in 2016. In other words, to exceed, we're still on the upward tick on our financial increase. That's something worth celebrating, y'all. Thank you. You can take that down for a second, because the people online want to see my amazingly gorgeous face. So we have partnered with Enjoy Stewardship Solutions. They were the first people to say, you're on go. Secondly, we, through prayerful consideration and interaction, we've partnered with three other people. And the folks who are responsible for these renderings are a group called North Point Architecture. Phil Claggett is the principal architect, and he is the one who has done these renderings. And Phil, really, we interviewed several architects, and Phil was the only architect to argue with me in the meeting. And I liked that. Everybody else said, yeah, Josh, that's great. We'll do that. We can do that. We can have that happen. No problem. Da, 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 da. And Phil pushed back and he said, nope, I think you need to consider something. And here's what he said you need to consider. He said, you need to consider renovating existing square footage, because the renovation of existing square footage is more efficient financially than building new square footage. He said, you will not be able to get as far as you want to go with the dollars that you have at your disposal if we only build new square footage. So what you just saw is the only provision for new square footage. Everything else is repurposing, renovating, and using the existing square footage that's already present in this massive elementary school. And at first, I was not excited about it, but I'm super excited about it now. So yay, Phil. Good on Phil. Thank you, yeah. Phil. Second organization that we partnered with to be our general contractor is Shoemaker Construction, which is led and organized by Chad Shoemaker. Chad is here in the service with us. Chad, why don't you stand up and wave at everybody? Everybody say hi to Chad. Chad's awesome. Chad has been a part of our church from the very beginning, and apart from that, there was a deep relationship, but Chad did not get this job because we have a relationship. Chad got this job because, first and foremost, God wanted Chad to get this job, and God spoke to our hearts about working with Chad. And secondly, because Chad approached this job realistically, where the other contractors came in with their drawings and their concept and their ideas and their direction, I was really fired up, and I called Chad, and I said, he presented after one of the other contractors. I said, dude, you got your work cut out for you, because they presented our socks off. I mean, they killed it on presentation. And Chad came in, and he did his presentation. And here's what I appreciate about Chad and about Shoemaker Construction is, when we had the budget for what we had a budget for, he presented us a finished product that would match our budget. In other words, the other organizations, they're great companies, they're great outfits, but they showed me a Ferrari, and we weren't ready to buy a Ferrari. And so Chad showed us a picture of reality. Lastly, the lending partnership is, we had several offers brought to the table, and Heartland Bank brought us the most agreeable and most aggressive terms that would work within the scope of our project. So I'm really excited that on the three main components, architecture, construction, lending, we are staying 100% local, and I'm really, really excited about that. So now you want to see Route 16 view, right? And so this is going to be what you see when you drive by every day. It is worth being upset about. I'm upset about it every time. Just so you know, I identify with that child. It pains me to look at that. I've often joked and said, people driving by with no windows, they don't know what kind of church we are. They don't know if we're passing snakes around, Kool-Aid. They don't know what we're doing in here. And so this has been a bother to me. And this is the rendering of the north elevation that they have provided for us. So when you're looking at that, I want to brag on my wife for just a second, because we were in a meeting with everyone and they were showing us things, and my wife spoke up near the end, and she said, "This all looks great, but I feel like there's something missing. There's no new entrance. Where's the entrance?" And they said, "Well, can you put that back up for me, please? It's this one right over here. This is the entrance. The one that you're using now is the entrance. That's going to be the next entrance too." And as soon as she spoke up, in my mind, here's how it went in my mind. "That can't work. That can't work. That will not work. I'll be doggone if we're spending $1.5 million and I come in this building the same way I've come into it for the last 7 years. There ain't no way that's happening on my watch. That cannot happen." And so Phil went back to the drawing board and he came up with this as a rendering. And so my wife kind of steered us in this direction. So let me talk really quickly about the phasing. Leave this up. So the room that you're seated in now will become transformed last. It'll be the last leg of the phasing. This room will become the new lobby, foyer, connect area. So the main entrance will be right on the through this wall. We'll come in. There's a partial wall, just so you kind of get a feel for the room. There's a partial wall in the design that would block some of that air from coming in and the different climates. And on the other side of that wall, there's a fireplace. We're planning on having like cafe seating areas and just real homey, real welcoming, real inviting, so that we can connect at the next level and do a really, really good job. And so from this room, you'll go straight through. My office is right behind you in that room across the hall. That room will disappear, and then you'll go straight into the new worship center. So you'll come from this now as the lobby and a pass-through in the hallway, and then you'll go into about a 450-seat auditorium that will more than double our current occupancy for adults. And so that there's no break in ministry between now and the phasing of the project, here's how we're phasing it. Phase one, as of right now, plans to be our children's wing. We are going to repurpose and renovate our current children's area first. The reason for that is that, number one, it makes sense. Number two, I want it to be a spiritual indicator of our priorities. I believe that we need to continue and maintain a heart that puts the next generation first, because the next generation needs the benefit and the blessing of those who have gone ahead of them to help them show the way to others and be a part of other people's faith journey that aren't yet where we are. They're upstream of us, and so we need to be proactive and reaching out to them. Second part of this that I'm really excited about is the idea of, we are going to have a dedicated, designed space for our teenage students, middle school and high school. In the nearly 13 years of the history of our church, we have never had a dedicated space for our youth. And ladies and gentlemen, it is time for that to change. And now is the time for that to change, so they will have their own next generation worship center in this new renovation project. You guys can take that down. Thank you guys for helping us and put that up. And so that will be phase one. Then after phase one, they'll do the construction of the new square footage for the new auditorium, and then they'll do this space last. So we're going to try to make this as seamless as possible. And so let me talk with you about some scriptures really, really quick. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the Bible says this: "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he." In the Message translation, it says it this way: "If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed." What we just saw is kind of a physical rendering of what I believe we haven't been able to see up until this point, but that has been in God's heart and God's mind all along. And so as we move forward in this with this vision, I wrestle with a couple questions. One question in particular. I've wrestled with this question probably my entire life, and it is real simple. It's this: can I make a difference? Followed by this question, How can I make a difference? I don't doubt for 1 minute that every single person in this room, every single person watching online wants to make a difference. That's settled. That's clear. Every one of us wants to leave a legacy to the generation behind us. Every single one of us does. And I feel like the older I get, the closer I get to this life ending, the clearer I see the desire that's in my heart to leave something of value to those who are coming behind me. It's a vision that's hard to articulate, but without this vision, people will perish. They'll not know exactly how to follow God the way they really can and should. And so, can I make a difference? I wrestle with that question. I wrestle with that question a lot. And I wrote down some key thoughts that I just want to share with you briefly in the time we have that I believe you'll be able to take out of here. Whenever you decide you want to take a step forward, here's what I can promise you will happen. You will get opposition. You will get opposition. See, when you begin to follow what God's called you to do, you face opposition every single time. Someone or something comes along to stop the progress of that thing that is in your heart. It's automatic. It happens every single time. Here's what I can tell you without question, without reservation, with absolute certainty. As we take this step, we will face opposition of some sort. Something will change, some problem will arise, some difficulty will be in the way, but here's what I know, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if God is for us, who can be against us? See, when opposition comes, we might be surprised, but God is never surprised. He's never surprised. And when that opposition comes, if we'll just daringly take a step and do what God says, we'll make a difference. Let's be a people who stay true to the mission that God has given us. And if we can't be trusted with what's now, we can never be trusted with what's next. So to make a difference, can I make a difference? It means doing what you know to do now here in this space. Daniel's gonna come and help me because I'm gonna close here in just a second. And it's a big dream, it's a big goal. But let me tell you what God has done already. But let me read another scripture in Psalms 127. Psalm 127, verse 1 says this: unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Can I make a difference? Yes. How can I make a difference? Simply finding what God has planted in my heart and do that. Guys, here's what I want us to all guard against. Listen to me really carefully. This is what I want us to guard against. If we just build a building and get some walls up and some bricks and mortar, and we do all that, and God's not in it, what's the point? What's the point? Because here's what I want you to understand. Buildings and programs and building programs, they don't build people. People build people. And so as we go forward in this, I have amazing individuals who've come around me. Chad, Darren, Phil. And at some point, I'm going to pass this assignment of getting the job done over to Darren. He's our owner's rep, and he's the one that's going to field all the questions once we get the design done. And I'm going to tell you why, because I made a promise to my family, on our last building project. I made a promise to our church, if you were here, in our last building project. And most importantly, I made a promise to God during the last building project. I am not going to do the next one the same way I did the last one. Here's what I did. I got so absorbed in the nuts and the bolts and the day-to-day workings of everything that was going on in the building project, my life became about this school building being changed. My whole life was into the drywall and the paint and the carpet. And do we have enough people here to help? And are we doing this and are we doing that? And in my life, the whole world got sucked into the vision became about building a building. And the vision was never about building a building. A building is just a tool to minister to the needs of people, which are vast and who are crying out, does anybody care? Does anybody love me? Does anybody want to be in my world? Listen, guys, this building is just a tool. It's just a tool. And unless the Lord builds a house, we're all going to labor in vain as we build it. What's that mean? We're going to be tired. We're going to be cranky. We're going to be frustrated. We're going to be hard to get along with. I'm not describing your spouse. I'm describing people who get frustrated by trying to do it on their own. Listen. Enjoy came in and they partnered with us and they said, Josh, you can expect somewhere around $500,000 to be received over the next 3 years. And in the spring of 2016, our church responded in a God-sized response. And Enjoy said $500,000, but God said nearly $900,000. Our church family responded with commitments nearing $900,000. We're now on pace, Enjoy says, to break $1 million. Actually, they gave us right down to the dollar. They said their guesstimate at this point is that we as a church will receive $1,040,000 to help us get this building project in over that 3 year period. Come on, y'all. Over 100% of what was committed. But listen. It's not a God-sized dream until it scares you. So here's what I have in my heart. I believe that 36 months from the day we move into a finished facility, I believe in 36 months we can be 100% debt-free with God's help in 36 months. See, of all the things that God calls us to do, He never calls us to be safe. I keep on waiting for God to hand me the safe assignment, but it never comes. It's always fun, one filled with adventure, challenge. God purposely puts something in front of us that's larger than what we can do, so that when it's done, we know it's Him who did what we couldn't do. And He is the one who gets the praise, the honor, and the credit for it. So, I'm going to ask you to consider something. Oftentimes I shy away from sharing what the response has been for concern that it may demotivate someone and cause them to think, well, is my gift really important? Back to the question. So all this is happening, Josh, so can I really make a difference? You can. 100% you can. And many people, through the course of the last year, have stepped up and said, we want to commit. And we want to be a part. And I want to ask you today to do something. We gave you these when you came in. These York peppermint patties. Because it was just our silly little corny way of saying, we want to thank you for your commitment. Get it? Mint? Get it? Commitment. I said it was corny. But if you haven't yet had a chance to make a commitment, I want to invite you to do that. The ushers are going to get ready to help me. And many, many, many people have said, yes, we want to get involved and we want to help. We want to make a financial commitment. But many people have been added to our church since we launched this last year. Some people, when we launched it, they were new and they didn't really have a chance or they weren't ready to make a commitment. And here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to make a financial commitment today. Here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you, will you pray about making a financial commitment by taking a card? And if you will, the ushers are going to jump up and they're going to get ready to serve you. Ushers all over the place. If you're willing to say, yes, Josh, I will pray about making a commitment, would you just simply raise your hand and leave it there until the ushers get to you? I haven't made a commitment, or I need to make a commitment. I want to make a commitment. I'm not asking you to turn it in today, but here's what I'm asking you to do. Right down here is one. If you just leave your hand up there just for a minute, I'm not asking you to say a dollar amount today. Yeah, just leave them up, guys. Thank you all. Thank you all very much. I'm asking you if you will prayerfully consider, listen very carefully, please, while you're being served. If you will prayerfully consider what financial sacrifice means for you with this project. See, here's what we didn't do. We didn't take the total budget and divide it by the number of households and send you an invoice for what you owe. You know, some places do that. It's a little weird for me, but that takes kind of the spiritual element out of it. Because that's equal gifts. We're not asking you for equal gifts. We're asking you for equal sacrifice. We're asking you to find what is a sacrifice point for you and just simply obey God in that step. My wife and I, we took a tremendous sacrifice step. And I'm going to tell you what it was, because it's important to me that you know that our hearts, the Penningtons, were in this thing. The Penningtons together are in this thing. It buckled me when we were at a leader commitment event last year and my family was there with me, and I asked for people to come and place their commitments into the bucket, and here came my kids with their own commitment card to give and say, this is what we're going to do for God's house. I thought I was making a commitment for all of us. It's always Angie and I's money that does everything else anyway. You know what I'm, how many parents of teenagers know what I'm talking about? It would be the equivalent of your teenager this afternoon when you go to lunch to celebrate at Carrabba's or Barrel and Boar or wherever you go, for that, that when the bill comes, for your teenager to say, hey dad, hey mom, we got this. Would that be a God-sized movement in your family or what? I mean, that was someone to break out in a Pentecostal fit. That'd be the Holy Ghost if your kids paid for lunch. It'd get nuts. Be people waving hankies and dancing and Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. It'd go crazy. It'd go nuts. But they made that sacrifice. The Penningtons are all in. And here's Angie and I and our family's commitment. We committed 20%. Of our 2016 salary spread out over the course of 36 months. That was our commitment. That was our sacrifice. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all in. Don't you know? Thank you. But we're all in. We're all in. And that may not be your level of sacrifice, but don't let your level of sacrifice be nothing. We're going without some stuff because we believe in this house and we believe in what God wants to do through this house, and we believe that there are people that God wants to reach through this house, and so we're jumping all in. Real quick, did we get everybody? Anybody else say, yeah, I want a commitment card? Did I miss it? Did we miss anybody? If we miss you, we'll give you real quick. Anybody? Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes with me, y'all? Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this place. I thank you for every person in this place. I thank you that you're using every person in this place to make a difference, who will say yes to you. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't have a relationship with you and they need a relationship with you, they want a relationship with you, will you let them know right now how clearly they need you in their life in a way that only your Spirit can? In the middle of this conversation about vision and reveal, it is impossible to reach our potential of making a difference in this world without the Spirit of the risen Christ helping us. And the Spirit of the risen Christ is available to any who would say yes to Jesus being the Lord and Master and leader of their life. And if you've never done that, or if you had done it years ago and walked away and you need to make a change, I want to invite you into this transformation today. You don't have a relationship with Him, or your relationship with Him is not what it ought to be. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seats, but I'm simply going to ask you with an uplifted hand to say, yes, that's me, and I want to pray with you. If that's you and say, Josh, I don't have a relationship with Him, or my relationship with Him is not what it ought to be, and I want to be included in this prayer. If that's you right now, slip up your hand right where you are. I want to pray with you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Real quick. That's awesome. Thank you, guys. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want you to pray this out loud with me. If you're watching online and you made that decision, someone's ready to pray with you and connect with you. But I want you online and here in person to pray this prayer out loud with me, even if you've prayed it dozens of times before. Everybody in the house prayed out loud to pray with those who are praying it maybe for the very first time. Say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord now and forever. I turn from my sin and I turn to your Son, and I'll follow Him all the days of my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Make some noise, y'all, for those people. Sweet. Good for you.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.